Memorial Day weekend for those of us who are United States citizens. Memorial Day was originally instituted in commemoration of those who died in military service, in war. So that has been on my mind this weekend, as I'm sure it has been on yours as well. The terrible happenings in Uvalde, Texas, certainly have been before us. Precious little children taken from their families in a senseless act. Can't help if you've seen some of the news reports and some of the interviews with family members and those who knew these children. Each and every one of them were precious, just as precious as the ones that we have in this congregation. Just as pure, just as innocent, just as much of a joy to be around. I take comfort in the words of Jesus when he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. And except you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Certainly those children are safe in the arms of Jesus. But you can't help but also be caught up in the great debate that is taking place, as always does whenever there's a tragedy such as this that involves a semi-automatic rifle. The call for the left of this country to disarm the citizens of the United States. And make no mistake about it, that is exactly what they want to do. And so, you have to focus somewhat upon the one who commits such crimes. And so those things have been rattling around in my mind. And invariably, somebody is going to ask the question, well, if there is an omnipotent, all-powerful God, then why do we have such tragedies as Uvalde, Texas? And wars, and rumors of wars. Why doesn't God do something about it? Someone addressed that. And basically, God has done something about it. People just need to implement what he's provided. So tonight, I'm not going to have a PowerPoint presentation, but I'm going to keep the title of the lesson before you: Source of Corruption and the Way of Escape. So, if you've become accustomed to me putting the scriptures up there for you and everything, I totally understand that. Probably should have warned you this morning. You want to bring your Bibles tonight. I want you to use your Bibles tonight. It's going to be easy. We're going to just be going back and forth, basically, not a whole lot, between 2 Peter and James, chapter 4. So if you want to get your fingers working that way and your Bibles working in that direction, the first passage I want to notice with you is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the latter part of that verse, where it says, corruption is in the world through lust. Why do you have the corruption that we see? Why do we have wars and rumors of wars? And that brings us to our next passage in James chapter 4, where James discusses this subject. He says, from where do wars and fightings among you come? Come they not from your lust that war in your members? Now there's a different context that James is using here. James is talking about in the context among Christians that were fighting amongst themselves over doctrinal matters and so forth, vying for position and all kinds of things. But the principle applies in general to war, carnal warfare, and physical altercations between individuals. Where do these wars come from? They come from you. They come from your lust. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not because you ask not. Every war that has ever been started has been started because someone wants to have something somebody else has. They want their land. They want their freedom. So that's true in among governments, among civilizations. As you come bring this down to an individual aspect, though, you see that these conflicts that you have in your life are conflicts because you're emphasizing you and what you want rather than what is best to the glory of God, first and foremost, and for others that are around you. You have not because you ask not, he closes verse 2 with. You ask, and you do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask that you might consume it in your own lust. You don't ask for something that's going to bring honor and glory to God or is going to be helpful for others. You're asking to consume it in your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And when he's talking about adulterers and adulteresses here, although it would apply to physical, in the physical sense, he is applying it and using it primarily in the spiritual sense. People who are wanting to be married to Christ and be identified as a Christian and a follower of Christ, but also wanting to pursue the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the things of the world. Want to be married to Christ, want to be married to the world at the same time. It won't work. If you want to be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? And it says it many, many times. God has revealed to us that we have a natural inclination to the carnal nature, to self-gratification, to pursue the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And such a pursuit will take us away from God. But not only has God revealed that, but he's also revealed this. He gives the more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Looks favorably upon the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore. Humble yourselves and submit to God. To resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. Purify Make your heart single-minded, single-focused. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And so the source of corruption, as he says here, he says it comes from your lust that is within you. Now, with those thoughts in mind, turn back again to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And start with verse 2. Grace, the favor of God, and peace, God's peace, be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, excellence, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The source of corruption is our lust. Can we escape the corruption that is in the world? Yes. The way of escape is revealed in the knowledge, the revealed knowledge of God, which also reveals the promises of God. If we will participate in the revealed knowledge, if we'll believe it, trust it, and act upon it. You see, the way it works, the corruption that is in the world through lust, that corruption that is among us can become the corruption that is within us if we are not careful. The corruption that is among us in the world can become the corruption that is within us if we're not real careful. Because as Peter closed out 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Some of your brethren have succumbed to the corruption that is in the world, the traps that have been set by Satan. But God, the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The corruption that is in the world is there through our lust. And Satan's appeal to our lust and us giving into and gratifying our lust. And so, that's the source of corruption, whether you like it or not. It doesn't originate with God. It originates with us. The spirit that dwells within us is prone to lust. Satan takes advantage of that, just like he did with Eve, just like he did with Adam. But there is a way of escape. It's this knowledge that God has delivered to us through his grace, that we might know that Satan is out to get us and destroy us, and that we might know the way of escape. Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1 goes on to say, besides this, giving all diligence. That's a pretty similar word as be sober, be vigilant. Soberness, vigilance, diligence. Give all diligence to make your calling. Remember, he called you to glory and virtue. Give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, to secure your salvation. He's called you out of the corruption of the world, and he has called you out of your own personal corruption of sin. We need to give diligence to secure this salvation that he has called us to. Add to your faith virtue, excellence, the pursuit of excellence in all things. And to your virtue, knowledge. How can you pursue excellence? You got to know what to pursue and how to pursue it. What to accept and what to deny. What discipline to enact in your life to embrace this way of escape. Having known it, you need to continue to practice it. To your knowledge, temperance, self-control, discipline. To temperance, patience. Continue in this way that God has taught us. And to patience, godliness. The characteristics of God will become your characteristics as you continue in this way that God has so graciously instructed us in. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Not self-focus, but others' focus, with the first focus being on God and glorifying him in the practice of his revealed will to us. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, rather than forgetting where you were and what you were forgiven of, rather than forgetting the revealed knowledge of God, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, secure your salvation. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you are continually adding to your faith the pursuit of excellence in all things that God has revealed, you will never fall. The corruption that is around you and the corruption that is within you, you will overcome it. For so, this is how an entrance will be granted unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, for this reason, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and you be established in the present truth, I want to continue to remind you of the present truth. Corruption is in the world through lust, and the way of escape is revealed in the gospel, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Yea, I think it meet, I think it's suitable, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm in this physical body, to stir you up and to put you in remembrance. Do not forget these things, he said. If you forget these things, you will forsake the way of God. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Why am I writing these things? Why am I writing to you about things that you already know and you excel in? Because you need to be reminded of them. You need to be reminded of them not only while I'm alive, but you need to be reminded of them after I'm gone. They're recorded for you. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Are we accused of such? Shake your heads this way, yeah. But that's not what we followed. We made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount. Therefore we have a more sure word of prophecy. We not only have the prophecies concerning him, we have the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning him. That's what he's saying. Wherefore you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, and no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Peter is writing as he is moved by the Holy Spirit, as all the New Testament writers, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is breathed of God. So the source of corruption is simply our inclination to the lust of carnal desires. Think of how many memorials we would not have if it was not for the lust of man. To have what doesn't belong to him, to have what he shouldn't participate in. Including the memorial that we partake of every first day of the week. If it wasn't for our lust and us giving into our lust, we would not have sinned. And it wouldn't be necessary for Christ to pay the price for our sin. Big price. Big price is paid when we are out to gratify our carnal lust. The lust that is in the world, the corruption that is in the world, is there through lust. But we have not been called to participate in the carnal nature. We have been called to participate in the divine nature that's revealed to us by the favor of God in the revelation of His knowledge, of His teaching about who we are, who He would have us to be, and who He is. And that we are created in His image. And we are to continue in His image. Revere Him. Keep His commandments. Be holy as He is holy. Be pure as He is pure. Be love as He is love. Those are the standards that we're to live up to. And if we are ever in pursuit of them and walk in this pathway of righteousness with Him, we will participate in the escape from the corruption that is in the world and the salvation that is found in Christ. Where are you this evening? Gratifying the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Not giving a second thought to the damage that it's doing to you. You wonder how people get to the point that they do such atrocities as we've seen in the news this last week. They've never stopped to consider, apparently, the damage that they're doing to themselves and then eventually do to others. You can continue in your sin. You will encourage others to participate in your sin with you. You will lose your soul and they will lose their soul. Or you can participate in this way of escape that is provided in Jesus Christ. And find salvation in Him. You will encourage others to do the same and they will find salvation as well. You will participate in the divine nature and they will as well. The choice is yours. I saw somewhere this past week where somebody said, well, why does God give us a choice? Why are we subjects of free will? Because if we weren't, we couldn't love. We couldn't choose to love God. We couldn't choose to love each other if we were forced to serve each other. That wouldn't be love. It's a great liberty that we have. And if you choose to participate in this way of escape that is in Christ, this liberty that He has provided to us, then we'd encourage you to embrace it, to be born again, to be born of the water and of the Spirit, and walk in newness of life with Him, and walk this pathway of righteousness to His praise and His honor and to His glory. If you're here as a child of God and out of favor with Him, need to make corrections with Him and let us pray with you and for you, please let that be known. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song.